This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. Welcome back to Office Hours. I get to interview some of my heroes throughout my life, and this is one of my heroes. And as we interviewed Angelo Pizzo, who did Rudy and Hoosiers, I think Rudy may be one of the biggest comeback stories, inspirational stories. Well, my friend has been dubbed the original comeback coach. You want to bring the best out of someone, you got to believe in the best in someone. And that's what I see in Tim's story, appropriately named, because nobody tells a story and teaches lessons better than my friend Tim's story. Welcome to Office Hours.
Thank you. What a privilege to be on, because every time I go through airports, I watch the show.
Yeah. Now people like tap you at the bar and say, hey, you're on
exactly
the channel we can't hear.
Exactly.
but we can see. Tim, you know, having the mindset to bring the best out of people. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a comeback story.
Yes.
And we appropriately give praise and acknowledge those that maybe have come back farther or suffered greater pain. But I think it's a disservice to everyone, because everyone has a comeback story. Some haven't lived it out yet. How do you help people today with that mindset, the miracle mindset that you've given me?
Yeah.
To bring out the fact that, hey, you just haven't told that story. You haven't executed on the comeback.
Interesting thing about the comeback is that most people don't think that they're ever going to need to have a comeback. So Mike Tyson never lost one fight by decision. It was the fact that he was knocked to the canvas and did not know how to get back up. So this is what I find, is that people do not think they're ever going to have that type of a setback. So they decide to sit in the setback, settle in the setback, and many times, guys, cement themselves in the setback.
Marcus.
Tim, I would just want to say it's been a pleasure working with you already today, and I'm honored to be around you. When you speak with such wisdom and authority, and I find myself leaning in so much that the guys here in the sound said, stop leaning in so much, Marcus. True story, by the way. So you and I, I was blessed to share the stage with you, if you will, at a recent webinar.
Yes.
Spoke on financial literacy, that we're in the Guinness Book of World Records together.
We did.
So my question for you is, what was your favorite thing that I talked about that day? No, I'm just kidding. Why do you think financial literacy is so important?
Financial literacy is so, so important, because a kid in Compton, the way I was raised, you know, we had seven people in a two-bedroom apartment. We were just thinking about survival. There was never any talk and guidance about finances. So really we feared this idea of debt. And I remember the old days, Dave Meltzer, you'll remember this, where the bill collector would actually call you on the phone.
Oh yeah, that's right? Pleasant.
And so my parents would be like, don't answer the phone. Why? Could be a bill collector. So financial literacy is so important to me. And that's why I got involved in it. To help people from all walks of life that are young, that money is our friend, currency is our friend. And Dave Meltzer helped us with that as well. And as you said, we made it to the Guinness Book of World Records for doing that event.
You know, Marcus and Tim, what's interesting about the word currency, which changed my relationship growing up in a two-bedroom apartment with a single mom and six kids as well, is that currency is energy and movement, right? That's what a current is.
Yes.
It's energy and movement. And we're suffering when we're trying to survive. We don't see movement. Right? We're trying just to keep our head above water.
That's so good.
And that energy is, whether it's your ideas, whether it's the people that you're around you, or even money or behavior, it creates a currency, a current for you. And, you know, what current do you want to go swimming in? One that's going upstream, or do you want to fall off waterfall, which so many people do, like you said, cement themselves when it's a setback instead of seeing it as a set up.
Yeah. Yes.
And Tim, that's what you've been able to do, is give me that set up mentality.
Yes.
And I would say, you talk about people, it's funny, being blessed, because if I got knocked down,
that was already a condition of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was conditioned to get back up. But if you keep on winning, you know, like Mike Tyson, all of a sudden you forget about that. And it was a scary moment in my life after so many years of winning, get knocked on my ass.
Yeah.
And to luckily somehow say, wait a second, I was born to get up or back
up. And a strange place to be for most people.
Yeah.
Because when somebody's really hit, the shock that hits them, sometimes the anger, sometimes the shame. Interesting story, 1999, Newsweek magazine put Robert Downey Jr. on the cover of Newsweek, but having to do with drug addiction. But in 2005, he started to film Iron Man. So even while he was filming Iron Man, people were talking shameful things about him as though he was going to stay stuck in that setback. But a year later, Iron Man came out and made him a global superstar. So I always say this, that while you're feeling the sting of your setback, God is preparing your comeback.
Beautiful. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's resonating here, and I think it's nothing more than divine where the conversation's going today. Because it's those that are cemented. And then you're in the, you don't even realize, do you, when you're like in the midst of your comeback sometimes. Because you're working so hard, and so many are just coming against you in those moments, like you're talking about Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
How do you encourage those? You know,
well, I think that one of the things that I love about this show, David, that you're doing, is that, you know, to have a comeback, number one, you have to become awake. Secondly, you have to take inventory. Like, look at, what is my life really like? But the third thing is you have to partner with the right people. And when a lot of people are in a setback, they isolate themselves. Don't forget this. When most people are in pain, they go singular. When you're happy, you go plural. But when you're in pain, you need to go plural. And you need to look for the right partners to help you out.
Beautiful. David, you talked about asking for help. I think that's, especially, I hate to say it, as men, we're kind of taught not to ever ask for help. Grown up, it's like, no. Be a man.
What about working as executive? I was blessed to be a young executive. But I was so isolated because if I asked for help from someone above me, I felt they would feel like I was incompetent. And if I asked for help for those that were below me, I felt that I would lose my superiority or my power.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was stuck in this world of just me, for me.
Yes.
The scarce world. And until I had the humility to realize, wait a second, the fastest way to get to where I want to be was this icon, right? That I had to reach up to the people above me, and I had to pull up a seat for the people below me. And the only way to do that is not only to ask for help, but to ask if somebody else needs help as well. Right? And so those two transition statements that I use in my life are, would it help you if, or do you know anyone that can help me? These are two less intrusive and conflictual ways of asking for help, right? Would it help you if? It's not saying you need it, but would it help you if? And two, do you know anyone that could help me? And it's amazing when you ask that, how many people step up, hey, I can help you. And you still can utilize that humility. And Shane, you built a multi-million dollar business. And one of the things I've admired about you, how we became friends, is you asked for help.
And to be honest, that's exactly why I'm on this show. I said, look, I'm a Tim Story fan, but David, you got to get me on the show. So please get on the show.
Well, how do you think half the people are here? I just said, Tim Story's going to be on. Oh, I'll be on. You know, Tim Jackson's on. I get, you know, it's not Dave Meltzer. You need a bug light.
I just showed up for In-N-Out, man.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, okay.
I'm a huge fan. You know, you've been on Oprah. You're friends with Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
You know, you're the comeback coach. You know, for entrepreneurs and business owners that deal with adversity and have that hustle mentality of go, 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 you know, what advice would you give of being overall cohesive? Because it's really hard to cement yourself, you know, and start thinking plural. So what other tips would you give to thinking more cohesive?
That's a great question. I think that we have to realize that we're all going through recovery and discovery at the same time. Recovery is healing from our past, but also our present. And all of us know this, that sometimes when you go on vacation, even though you may have plans on that vacation, for the first few days, you are just like ailing, you're hurting, you're like, wow, I'm on vacation and I'm kind of hurting so much, I don't want to leave the room because you're going through the recovery zone. But you can get so caught up in recovery that you miss the discovery. And I've become a master at helping somebody say, you know what? You might be recovering because you had a divorce or that your child is in trouble, but look at the discoveries of your life. Look at the fact that you're alive today, you're breathing today, and that there's new opportunities today. So recovery and discovery, very, very important to put on the forefront of your mind.
Love that.
What I love about that mentality is gratitude and forgiveness.
Yes.
Play and are intertwined in both recovery and discovery. Just to finish up, I believe names mean something and you're dubbed. And, you know, my name, David Meltzer, means beloved waiter, beloved servant. And somehow I get choked up. That's what I'm here for.
Yes.
Tim's story.
Yeah.
Someone who liberates you to tell your story.
Yes.
And it's what story, not that we're telling others, because we, this energy gap I talk about between I am, and this is what I want people to think I am. People are telling stories about what they want people to think they are. Overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating. Something that I inherited genetically and energetically as a young man. But how important is it to teach people to tell themselves? What story are you telling yourselves when you're in recovery and discovery? How important is it, the stories that we're telling ourselves?
It is everything. And I think one of the things that's important is that God would never give you the invitation if he was overly concerned about your limitation. So if God is voting on me, then I vote on me.
What's so cool too is that you don't have to do anything to earn that invitation, do you?
Not at all. No. And for those of us that have children, it's not based on what they have done or what they're going to do. So God's opinion of us makes man's opinion irrelevant. And that's how I roll.
And to that, the ignorant arrogance of our true parents is that they don't know everything. And where the ignorant humility comes in, because people that don't know everything are going to be afraid for us if they love us. So our parents are going to make bad decisions and give us bad advice because they're going to base it out of fear that we're going to hurt. Where the omniscient God has no fear that you're going to be hurt. And so you should have the ignorant humility in understanding that faith, if I'm protected and promoted, loved by something that's omniscient, not afraid for me, but protecting and promoting me, I'm just limited with knowing and understanding at the present. And I'm usually too impatient to allow the truth, my potential, to show itself. And Tim, you have helped me work through being able to articulate that. And everyone articulates this stuff in a different way. We share a frequency, and I'm blessed that my frequency is your neighborhood and your neighborhood's my frequency.
Yes.
It's a blessing for anyone you touch and meet and anything I can do to be of service.
We're real brothers, and thank you for being you and always uniting all of us together, because you are that guy. You're the networker to all of us.
Yeah, well, appreciate it. Thank you so much. What an honor it is. Tell yourself the story that best puts you in a trajectory where you want to be or better. People like Tim Story, the original comeback coach, the OG of them all, straight out of Compton, if you can believe that. Tim Story, thanks for joining us on Office Hours.